Good evening, people. Welcome to the show. Got something here I want you all to know, and that thing is welcome to Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. My name is Corey Mercer, joined as always by my good buddy, I can't even talk anymore. We've been recording all night. John Mariano, St. John himself from Long Island, New York. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
Corey, I got to stop you right there, my friend, because there's a little something. I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit for the audience. We've done, this is now the third episode where you've done an intro.
Yep.
And folks, this is the first time on the first try, Corey Morissette has stuck the landing.
No, I still screwed it up. I screwed up your intro. So
now, my intro, that doesn't count as part of it. It's the walk this way into the episode. The walk-up is where you have struggled.
Yep, every single time.
And getting through that, my friend, I just want to take a moment and appreciate you, because it's not easy, folks. And Corey makes it look easy, and Corey does it well, and Corey does it till he gets it right. And this time he got it right on the first try. So this is a kind of a backhanded compliment. It was outstanding, my friend. I'm throwing him under the bus saying he screws it up a lot.
Oh, yeah. You're not throwing me under the bus. That's just fact.
I just want to say, though, right now you're batting 333. And my friend, that's a Hall of Fame number for playing baseball.
So, Johnny, last week we rolled the dice and we came up with a Johnny Mariano tune. That tune was Lord of the Thighs, which, of course, has made it onto our mixtape. The very first track, one of one, has made it on the mixtape as we kind of thought it would, especially with a classic like Lord of the Thighs. Maybe not hugely enthusiastic.
The live version of Lord of the Thighs loses a step. And it, you know, we said a little bit in the last episode. On the outro, it gets a little redundant. It gets a little monotonous. The goal of the mixtape is to really show all the facets of why you love the band.
Just because Lord of the Thighs, the studio cut, is now in the mixtape, doesn't mean that a live cut might not supplant it somewhere down the road. Anything officially released by the band is up for grabs here. So at some point, one of us or a special guest can put Lord of the Thighs from Live Bootleg or Classics Live 1 on the dice, and it could take the place of the studio cut. And like you said, John, a classic Aerosmith song, but the studio cut, I don't think, is the best representation of that song.
No, but it's been a mainstay in their concerts for a reason, and maybe one day we'll find that. We're not going to find that out today, because it ain't on the die.
Yeah.
If it ain't on the die, we ain't listening to it tonight.
Nope, that's exactly right. So, again, a quick recap for everybody. John and I each picked three songs. We put them on a set of dice, or on one die, I guess. We roll the die, and we get the song. So it was a John song last week, Lord of the Thighs. So he was able to, that came off the die, and he replaced it with Permanent Vacation, the title cut from the 1987 comeback album that really helped solidify Aerosmith as one of the top bands of all time. So let's recap, John. Your three songs currently on the die, and you can talk about each one if you want. Rats in the Cellar, Permanent Vacation, and The Other Side are the three songs you put on there.
Yeah, I don't want to waste the folks' time talking about them unless we're hitting them on the die, because we're going to have plenty of time to talk about them once they hit. At some point, they're all getting hit, but for now, the possibilities are endless, or at least the possibilities are six.
That's right.
And that was three possibilities. And what are the other three, Corey?
The other three are my choices on the die currently: Chip Away the Stone from Gems, Shut Up and Dance from Get a Grip, and Let the Music Do the Talking from Done with Mirrors, 1985. So those are the six songs on the die. John, if you're ready, what do you say we roll the dice and see what we get?
I say I'm going to blow on your hands, and we're going for it, my friend.
Here we go. Rolling the dice, and we're going to come up with Shut Up and Dance from Get a Grip. I love this song. A classic. Also featured, there's a live cut from Wayne's World 2 from the soundtrack. So if we ever want to bring that one onto the dice, we certainly can. But Get a Grip is low-key one of my favorite Aerosmith albums of all time. I thought, you know, Permanent Vacation was great. Pump was a step up. I really love Get a Grip. I think that was even a step up from Pump. And this is one, when you think about Get a Grip, you don't think about Shut Up and Dance, but God damn it, if this song isn't a ton of fun to listen to.
I love that you picked this song. You bring up Wayne's World 2. Wayne's World 2 is kind of, it's a little bit of a statement. In the 90s, there were a lot of these fairs and like Woodstock revisited, and a lot of stuff like that was going on. And Wayne's World 2 kind of capitalized on all of that. And the entire point of the movie is they're trying to throw their own Wayne stock, like Woodstock. And the big headliner band they have is Aerosmith. And when Aerosmith finally comes to play during the happiest of endings, you get Shut Up and Dance. And it's the end of the movie. It's a feel good song to listen to on the way out, walking out of the theater. But it's one of the most underrated tracks on Get a Grip, which turns out most of their big hits in the 90s come off of that album, right? Like, it's known for the three big power ballads.
Yep.
Right. And Living on the Edge, and kind of lost in the shuffle. But to show what a great album that is, we're going to listen to Shut Up and Dance right now, and it's a fun track, folks.
It really is. It was released as a single. The B-side is Line Up, which is another great deep cut from Get a Grip, also featured in a movie. If you remember, it was in Ace Ventura: Pet Detective.
It's in the montage of Ace Ventura when he's going through all the suspects trying to figure out who Ray Finkel is, or who has the ring. And he's looking for the one ring, and that's Line Up is playing as he's tracking down each of the Miami Dolphins, and it's a great sequence.
It really is, and a great song. I can't wait till we get to Line Up. But Shut Up and Dance is what we're talking about tonight, written by Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and a couple of members of Damn Yankees, Jack Blades from Night Ranger as well, and Tommy Shaw, also from Styx. Co-wrote this song with Steven Tyler and Joe Perry, and it kind of feels like a Damn Yankee song a little bit. Produced by Bruce Fairbairn, who in the late 80s, early 90s had the Midas touch. Everything he touched seemed to turn to gold, and this album has proved positive of that.
I mean, Corey, you just kind of blew my mind a little bit with that tidbit, because Damn Yankees is one of the more famous supergroups of all time. Mm-hmm. If they're a supergroup and we're taking two of their members and adding them to Aerosmith, who's one of the definitively great American groups of all time, what does that make like the lineup for this song? Like a super duper group?
A super duper group. You can't go wrong. It's going to be a great time. What do you say, John? Let's get into Shut Up and Dance from Get a Grip.
Spin it, Corey.
All right, already we're off the hop, and I know John's grooving already. I could see him on the Zoom call here just bopping his head. You can't help but move to this song, right? Like, you got that nice kind of heavy rip, that and Steven Tyler, nice high-pitched vocal on top of that. This is just quintessential early 90s Aerosmith, and it's wonderful.
Well, you have that high-pitched Steven Tyler coming in, but what's weird is, and Corey, I got to ask you a question here. Can you hear a cool guitar slouch? Like when a great guitarist, one of the legendary guitarists really starts playing, they have that guitar slouch they do where they're not standing up straight, and you almost see their shoulders shrunk in, and they're just like leaning into the guitar. And you can feel and hear that with Joe Perry's riff breaking into the song.
You know what? I gotcha. I can see it slug low, you know, past the hips. Just that intro riff has got some sting to it. And it's working. All right, let's keep going here.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I'm really enjoying that Steven Tyler is doing here lyrically, and he does this a lot on the songs, is he bunches up a lot of words really fast that almost sounds like a rap. And then he does his long drawn out Steven Tyler line afterwards. Mm-hmm. And he holds the notes. And it's a juxtaposition of rapid fire wordplay with long drawn out notes and singing that Steven Tyler, it's like a signature of his singing style.
And I love lyrics like, so I started writing you the song, but the words I wrote came out all wrong. Like, you know, clever writing. And there's more examples coming up, and I can't wait. I'm going to stop the song when we get to some of my favorite lines that happens in verse 2 and verse 3. But a real jump, and we talked about Steven Tyler's lyric writing from Get Your Wings, which is their second album, to now Shut Up and Dance from Get a Grip, well down the line of the discography, and how much he's grown as a songwriter. But there's always this kind of charm in the double entendre with Steven Tyler that really kind of encompass Aerosmith and is one of the elements that make Aerosmith an all-time classic band. And you get all those elements here, right? You got the great guitar, you got, you know, Joey Kramer, Tom Hamilton, you know, Brad Whitford, they're all in the pocket laying down a great groove, a great Aerosmith type groove, and Steven Tyler working his magic lyrically. This is everything I love about Aerosmith in a single track, and I love it. So let's keep her rolling. All right, that's one of those lines I'm talking about. When they take away everything you got and they rub your nose in the funky spot, not without a fight. That's Steven Tyler, you know, clean, sober, and at the top of his game, I think.
And I love that you have the lyrics here, because for the life of me, I always thought, and they rub your nose to fuck your spot. It never made sense to me. I'm so glad you have the lyrics in front of us that And they rub your nose in the funky spot makes a lot more sense than to fuck your spot. Because I'm like, what are you talking about, Steven? And it's just me mishearing lyrics all these years.
And that is kind of the nice thing about doing a show like this, is that we're listening to these songs with kind of a more critical ear, right? We're looking at the lyrics. We're listening more to the breakdown of the song. And you're appreciating new layers of the song maybe you didn't before. And there's a lyric you had misheard for how many years? And now it makes a little more sense for you. All right, here we go. Back to the chorus.
The change up that we're listening to here, Corey, like, mm-hmm. it's the same song, but we went from those driving guitar riffs. And is this triangles now? Like, what kind of percussion is going on that we're listening to? And the entire feeling of the song, while it's clearly the same song, the change up is so nice and welcome. And then even the rhythm that Steven's singing, and the rapid fire he's throwing it at you, like it works so well. I'm getting a little pissed off because I picked Lord of the Thighs, and that was the first song. And I appreciate Lord of the Thighs, and this song comes out 20 years later, mm-hmm. on or about.
Yeah,
and you know, you can hear the growth of them as a band in this song.
And that sound you heard was Joey Kramer riding that ride cymbal, which he does very, very well. Yeah. It sounded like a triangle, but that's him on the ride cymbal doing a fantastic job. But yeah, I love this kind of little, this little denouement almost before we get into the guitar solo, you know, just kind of take it down a little bit. when you work your fingers through the bone, now what does that get you? Nothing. I think everybody can relate to that. In a crowd of people, you're still alone. You hope that tells you something. Like, it, you know, relatable lyrics, right? Check out the shape of your circumstance. He wears the dress and she wears the pants. Here comes Jill and she needs romance. So, but you can't do jack, so shut up and dance.
What's so great about this is that if you just stripped away and just had the vocals, Steven Tyler would be as at home right there on a Run DMC album or on any rap album of the time as he would be on an Aerosmith album. And yet, lyrically and musically, he is doing so much heavy lifting in this song, going almost from genre to genre in stanza to stanza of the song.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And that last line sums up this song. You can't do jack, so shut up and dance. Like, you know, work's going to get you down. Everything's going to get you down. He wears the dress. She wears the pants. Here comes Jill, and she needs romance. You can't do jack, just shut up and dance. Just a fun refrain. This isn't Jamie's Got a Gun. This isn't a song with a message. This is fuck everything, just shut up and dance. And that's going to lead us into the Joe Perry guitar solo. So let's give that a listen. Come on, you gotta love it, right? You can't be a fan of classic rock and not listen to that and like bop your head and get into it, right? Everything is just working there.
I know he had 20 years to figure this out at this point, but I think we're gonna be hard pressed to pull. Like, I'm calling it now. This is making the mixtape, and I think we're gonna be hard pressed. this is gonna be a long standing citizen on the mixtape,
right? Like, I didn't just throw this on here because it had a catchy title, right? This song, right? It kicks a little bit. And one of the better tracks from Get a Grip, one of the better tracks from the 90s, I think. And you had the three members of the rhythm section. Even Steven was kind of throwing in some ooh, right? Just kind of riding that wave while Joe is kind of higher up on the neck and he's playing that kind of, you know, higher register type solo. And fuck, everything about it worked. I love that solo section of this song so much.
I'm a little pissed at you, Corey, but I'm also like, this is why Corey's a great producer.
Because you would have expected maybe this song on my dice right off the hop, right?
No, and it's so brilliant because it's coming in early in the show. This is like, if I were listening, this would be a reason for me to want to tune in, is to cover songs like this. And I mean, dude, you nailed it by putting this on the die, and thank you, because I'm really enjoying myself right now.
Yeah. If this is a song you skip on Get a Grip, stop it, because it's definitely worthy of your time. And the best verse is coming up next. The best lyrics in the song are coming up right away here. So let's give it a listen. I just got to stop it there. So sex is like a gun. You aim, you shoot, you run, which is fantastic. But then you get, when you're splitting hairs with Mr. Clean, it's like getting head from a guillotine. Come on. That's fan-fucking-tastic.
The lyrics are spot on. And what's funny is, and this is going to be a little bit weird because the movie comes out like maybe 4 or 5 years before this song comes out, and I'm thinking about When Harry Met Sally. And the reason I'm thinking about that is very famously in that movie, Harry Burns has a conversation with Sally, and he explains to her that, you know, after you have sex with a woman, you know, I lay there and I try to figure out how soon until I can get up and leave. And basically that's Steven Tyler's lyrics here. Yeah. And I, like, people, I know it's shitty. I know times have changed, but we all think it, whether we're men, we're women. Sometimes you have a one night stand or something and you're just looking to get out. And Steven Tyler kind of nails it lyrically here in a lot of ways. And you know, if you've ever been in a situation like this, you can appreciate it. If you've ever been on the opposite side, you can go, that sucks. That's what that person's thinking, and they're an asshole. But he kind of owns it and says he's completely guilty of it here. And one way or the other, that's a little bit rock and roll. That's a little bit Steven Tyler. It's a lot misogynistic. We can own all of that and be all of those things at the same time. But lyrically, there's a lot of genius going on there.
There really is. And I love Steven Tyler as a lyricist. And this song is a masterclass in double entendres. Let's finish off here. We've got a minute and a half left to go.
You know, we were complaining about the monotony of Lord of the Thighs in episode one. Mm-hmm. And we have an outro here that gets repetitive, but there's enough stank going on. It's some Joe stank. It's some Steve stank. Mm-hmm. And there's enough going on that even though they're repeating the same lyrics over and over again, there's enough variety going on where and enough flavor where my interest is still piqued on the way out.
And if you're not bopping your head and you're not moving to this song, you're dead. Like it's ingrained in the song, right? You can't help but just kind of groove along with it. And unlike Lord of the Thighs, which had that really long outro, we're going to get something a little different here on the outro of this song.
Well, and you even had some Brad Whitford sprinkling in his rhythm guitar in there. Mm-hmm. And just the way he threw those riffs in there, gave enough of a change up from the heavy riffs and from the jazziness of Steven on the way out and the drums and the bass. There's enough going on here that if you're not into this and you don't get that this is like peak Aerosmith, you're missing the boat.
Exactly. And this is a song not a lot of people know or gravitate to, especially from this album, but this should have been a bigger hit than it was. I know it charted in kind of the UK. I don't think it was ever a big hit here in America. But.
Well, I think part of the problem was Crying Crazy and Amazing, like, owned the charts for a very long back to back to back. And they kind of became this power ballad band for most of the rest of the 90s. And songs like this kind of got lost in the shuffle on pop music stations and everything. And I mean, every element you want in Aerosmith is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree. We got 20 seconds left. Let's catch the outro of this one here.
Man, that's fun.
Gotta love that outro. It didn't overstay its welcome. This was the sixth single from Get a Grip, released January 1994. I imagine, John, if we asked Steven Tyler, would this song make our ultimate playlist, he would say...
But I certainly like the song. I liked it a lot.
And I agree. I put this song on the dice. I obviously love this song. I loved it in Wayne's World 2. I love the studio cut. To me, this is a low-key classic Aerosmith song, and I'm very happy we got to play it on episode 2 of our show here, John. What did you think?
I think you nailed it, Corey. Like, I'm a little jealous. I'm a little bit upset with you. I feel like you're kind of rubbing it in, like your Aerosmith fandom a little bit more of like, John, you think you're pulling it deep or whatever. Like, I'm gonna pull it in a little bit deeper. And while I appreciate the double entendre, Corey, I'm a little bit like, you put a little bit too much stank on that one, Corey. But now it's up to you. You gotta replace your song, my friend.
That's right. And I was kind of thinking about this as we're going through, like, okay, do I continue with my 70s, 80s, and 90s theme? And I think I do. So I'm thinking, okay, what else came out in the 90s? And I'm going to go with another single from the album Nine Lives, released in 1997. I'm going with the first track released from Nine Lives. Falling in Love is Hard on the Knees. You want to talk about double entendres? There's another song chock full of them. So that's what I'm putting on the dice for next week.
I love it, Corey. Corey, I own, as I've told you, every Aerosmith album from their original release through Nine Lives and every studio album in between. And what's great is you just picked a song, one of my favorite songs off of the last release of anything I own from Aerosmith. If we go beyond Nine Lives, and when we go beyond Nine Lives, we're going beyond my collection. but I love this pick. I'm really happy with where the dice sit right now. And I'm looking forward to rolling them again next week with you.
Oh my God. Look at the six songs we have for next week. We have Chip Away the Stone, Rats in the Cellar, Falling in Love is Hard on the Knees, Permanent Vacation, Let the Music Do the Talking, and The Other Side. We're a winner either way.
I mean, we're gonna catch that with most of these songs. There aren't that many bum songs with Aerosmith, right? There aren't too many of skip those tracks. We're gonna come across some. We're gonna inevitably put some on the die. I don't want to put any on that early because I want people to have a reason to tune in. I feel like we're keeping the die lively right now. Mm-hmm. And eventually we'll get to a point where we need, in the negative way, we're going to need to put some stank on the die, but some legitimate stank on the die. But for now, let's tell the people where they can find you, Corey.
Well, they could find me on Twitter and Instagram at CD Marset, and you can find me on my other show, wherever you get your podcast. And the podcast will rock. We are breaking down the Van Halen catalog one track at a time, kind of like what we're doing here with my buddy Mark Kammeyer. As we record this, we're approaching show 20, so we got a ways to go. There's about 150 Van Halen songs, so we got a ways to go on that one. Here we have over 300 before we finalize the ultimate Aerosmith mixtape. But man, am I ever going to enjoy the journey. And it's songs like this, maybe not quite the big hits that everybody knows, but those kind of deeper cuts that really do the trick for me. John, where can the people find you?
They can find me every Tuesday night on my buddy Ken Knapsack's Twitch channel. We ride the Route West, sometimes with some of our friends, Jeff Saunders and Thomas Wrestling sometimes shows up. And we ride the Wild West and Red Dead Redemption Online. And I play a jerk in that game. I set people on fire. I do terrible things. They're pixelated people, so I don't feel that bad. And I get a lot of aggression out. But then if people really want to do anything to support anyone, they can listen to our friend Ken Knapsack's radio show on Mixcloud. He does an incredible, he curates playlists every week, 1 to 2 times a week. He does them every Saturday night or most Saturday nights. And he does them occasionally on Wednesdays. And whenever he really feels like it, but he usually goes for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. He plays a mixture of pop and rock from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, but he'll go all the way up to today with the music. He sprinkles in a wide variety, and Ken, there aren't many better spinning playlists nowadays. So I would recommend you subscribe to him at Mixcloud. on the pop rockin' radio, you hold the G off. It's pop rockin' radio, and his name's Ken Knapsack. If you want to go find him,
and it's the best $2.99 a month you'll ever spend. I know I'm a recent subscriber. Ken's an old friend, and he just does a fantastic job spinning tunes for the folks on weekends and sometimes during the week as well. I know I just caught a Wednesday show that was absolutely fantastic. So by all means, go support Ken Knapsack.
And the good news is the $2.99 is voluntary. So you can choose to subscribe and support him financially.
Yep.
Or just getting the word out and supporting Ken and following him on Mixcloud and listening to Pet Playlist. I sometimes have friends over, and I will, while I entertain, I'll play the playlist what over drinks and while we're hanging out. And if you're enjoying the music here, you can enjoy the music there. Corey and I will sometimes recommend songs or request songs. And if we're lucky enough, Ken plays them. He plays them because we're his friends.
So. And that's one of the perks of the $2.99, because I'm pretty selfish. I want Ken to be playing all my requests. So I make sure I'm ponying up the dough so that my requests are first and foremost. And my last one was dedicated to you, my friend. I know you talked about how much you loved the Whitesnake self-titled album. So I made sure and threw a cut for you out there on Pop Rock and Radio.
Well, and a week earlier, like three weeks ago now, or about, and if people listen to it in the future, many weeks ago, I requested Saint John for you from Aerosmith, which we will eventually put on these die, but absolutely. It's a little soon for me to appreciate myself in that manner.
There you have it. We got a long road to go, my friend, but life's a journey, not the destination, right? Steven Tyler mentioned that. So show 3 in the books. I had a lot of fun with you, my friend, and I had a lot of fun with all you listening. Thank you very much for giving us a try here on Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. And as always, we are going to give the final word to Mr. Steven Tyler.